It's the Thursday Movie Review. This is Geoff Hopkins. Hello. If you fancy going to the cinema to catch a new film this weekend, I know a man who can help you decide what you should go and see in a darkened room. He is the author, broadcaster and film critic Mark Searby. Hello to you.
Hello.
So it's been a little while from what I can remember since we had a really decent romantic comedy. You think of rom-coms, you think of the Richard Curtis films from the 90s into the noughties. And then in the last few years, it feels like it all sort of slowed down. We've had plenty of superhero movies and horror movies, but rom-coms seem to have fallen out of fashion. And I see that we have something called The Big Sick, which is new at cinemas this weekend. Is this a bit of a renaissance for the rom-com genre?
I think it probably is, yeah. I think if this hadn't have done well, then maybe it would have once again been kept under the carpet. They would have been B-movies still, but The Big Sick seems to be breaking out. It certainly has broken out big time in America, so I'm hoping it happens here as well.
Okay, so tell me about this. I've seen the trailer, and unusually for me, I haven't really done rom-coms ever particularly. The trailer really grabbed me.
Yeah, it's about Kumail, who is an aspiring stand-up comedian in Chicago. He falls in love with Emily. However, his Pakistani heritage causes problems in their relationship. Then one day, Emily goes into a coma and Kumail must deal with her parents as he attempts to navigate the choppy waters of cultural differences. You know, there's some films out there that will make you cry one minute, laugh the next. The Big Sick is one of those films. It's co-written and stars Kumail Nanjiani, who I think most people will probably know from the hit TV show Silicon Valley, and it is simply wonderful. There's a lot of humour in it because, as expected, Kumail is a stand-up comic, and yet it's the humour in the relationship side of the storyline that's the most heartwarming and hilarious. Emily and Kumail are, we see them totally devoted to each other in the early stages. They joke around with each other, and it's just a delight to watch. However, the dark secret is that he has his family who are trying to sort out an arranged marriage for him, yet he doesn't want to tell Emily. So there's this very interesting discussion going on in the film about culture and how the younger generation are moving away from old traditions and forging their own paths. Then the film switches slightly once Emily goes into the coma, and it becomes this story about acceptance. And Kumail is thrown into meeting Emily's parents when they come to look after their daughter while she's in hospital. This takes the meeting the in-laws to a whole new level because Kumail finds himself going through that rite of passage while Emily's in a coma and basically can't help him at all. And the whole thing is completely rooted in reality as well. It is, without a doubt, one of the most entertaining rom-coms I've seen in many years. It's a gut punch of emotions from start to finish and will leave you feeling upbeat about life and love.
The Big Sick, it is new at cinemas this weekend. I see that Halloween is 3 months and counting, so we must do a horror film. We have an Australian horror film here, it says. The Hounds of Love. Tell me about this.
It follows Vicky Malone, who is randomly abducted from a suburban street by a disturbed couple. And as she observes the dynamic between her captors, she quickly realises that she must drive a wedge between them if she wants to escape. This is a small indie Australian drama that's very tough to watch. I mean, the first opening 5 minutes, very, very hard work. You know, there's not much backstory to Vicky. It's just enough to find out who she is and that she lives with her mother. And then from within 5 minutes where she's abducted, the film ramps up this tension and atmosphere to near fear-inducing levels. The two abductors are not the brightest people, and we see them argue and fight even before Vicky starts to manipulate them. And they are a couple that love to hate each other, yet still can't live without each other either. I mean, initially Vicky fears for her life. Then she starts to get some sense, and she starts to appeal to the woman's sensibilities in order to let her go. And here is where we see some very interesting manipulation from Vicky. I mean, she pulls some very clever tricks, but not ones that are so far out of reality. Instead, they are possibly what you would think of when observing these types of situations. And we get this cat and mouse game of who will come out on top. All the while, the film is constantly giving the viewer the idea that there's no hope for Vicky. And it just drips the film in this near panic-stricken tension. It is a difficult film to watch. I absolutely will say that. Yet one that, you, if you're going to watch it, you won't be able to turn away from, even though the subject matter is so evil.
Is this just like a sweaty palms kind of film?
It's, do you know what? It is that at the beginning, but then it gets worse and worse. But you really do feel for Vicky, and you start to think how she thinks.
All right. Well, if you don't fancy The Big Sick or indeed Dunkirk, which is still out at the moment, Hounds of Love is new at cinemas this weekend. A couple of picks on DVD this week. Let's start with Get Out. Tell me about this.
It's a story about Chris and Rose, who are an interracial couple who decide to spend the weekend at Rose's parents' house. Chris is welcomed into the family, but soon starts to discover that Rose's white upper-class family are not what they seem. This is written by comedian Jordan Peele. He's very big in America for his comedy stuff. This film is anything but funny. This is a nightmare journey into the rise of modern-day racism, and also a horrible look at the psychology of those who, because they have bags of money, believe they can get away with anything. There are slight touches of humour, but they're badly needed in this film because the rest of the film is terrifying. I mean, Chris is a nice guy, and you can see him want to impress his future in-laws, and there's plenty of light-hearted jokes and some interesting stories. And Rose keeps saying how her parents are in tune with black society, and, you know, they would have voted for Obama for a third term. And you can visibly see Chris become uncomfortable with the amount of attention he's getting, not because he's the boyfriend, but because he's black. And it looks and feels like overkill from Rose's family and friends. That's the thing. Then the film starts to slowly unravel from the moment when Chris sits down with Rose's mom and she conducts a psychological test. It from then on, it just creates this horror environment that is akin to a racial version of the Stepford Wives. It's a fantastic satirical look at the modern world and the racism that still exists. But what impressed me most about Get Out is how confident a film it is, and it's all down to Jordan Peele's direction. He doesn't let it slip into bog-standard blood and guts horror. Get Out never fully lets you get a grip on proceedings. Instead, it throws you all over the place with emotion and this rising sense of dread. It is a truly accomplished piece of work for a first time filmmaker.
Okay, Get Out is on DVD this week. Right, help me out here, because Kong Skull Island is on DVD this week. How does this fit in? What's the story? Is it just another rehash?
It's a reboot, let's say, but it's not the same as what we've seen previously. It's about a team of scientists flanked by an army platoon who explore an uncharted island in the Pacific. There they venture into the domain of the mighty Kong and must fight for survival. I love a film that just lays its cards on the table straight away and goes, here, this is what you're going to get. And that's exactly what Kong Skull Island does. Not 10 minutes in, we come face to face with Kong. And it's an imposing and slightly scary scene. That's when you know that we're in for one heck of an entertaining monster movie. It doesn't take long for the scientists and army personnel to arrive on the island. Then it's all bets off as to who will survive. And what's pleasing about this film is it doesn't sacrifice plot for visuals. The storyline's entertaining to watch. And there is an element of wanting to know more background as to why they are there hunting this creature. Also, because it's set in the 70s, there are a lot of references to and metaphors to Vietnam. And while at times those parts of the storyline are slightly hammered home a bit too much, I do think it's an interesting angle for the film to take on and one that does work very well. But it might well be called Kong Skull Island. However, there are many more beasts and monsters than just Kong in this film. These creations, that's what I'm going to call them, because they're just so scary and quite gruesome. And when they start to appear, it's no holds barred in terms of action. There are bodies being thrown around, heads being crushed, people being bitten in half. It's really gory. And I'm not sure how the film got away with just a 12A certificate. I mean, I winced a few times at the brutality of it all. It's just a classic monster movie that, you used to see with the original King Kong films or the original Toho Godzilla films. It comes across kind of like a cross between Apocalypse Now and Jurassic Park. It's just a good old-fashioned, loud, brash, gory monster movie.
So basically, forget what we've seen before from the other films. This is a different beast altogether, pardon the pun.
Yes, absolutely. And I think it's better for it.
OK, Kong Skull Island, it is new on DVD this week. What's coming up then in the next few weeks? What should we be keeping our eyes out for?
Next week, the Emoji Movie.
What emoji would you use to describe it at this stage without giving anything away too much?
Well, we can't say it on the radio. It's the one that's coloured brown.
Who thinks
that this is a good idea, really?
That's what I was hoping you would say. Right, well, you can look forward to that brown-coloured emoji next week on the Thursday Movie Review. Mark, thank you. Have a good weekend, won't you?
I will do, you too.
If you haven't seen Dunkirk yet, find out what Mark thought. Just search online for Thursday Movie Review.